Good evening, you guys. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. At this time, we begin the set ten as we've done for lots of years since 1982. We'll be checking at number 1743, approximately, plus or minus one or two. As you guys know, the main purpose of the TechNet is education. The curious radio amateurs sign in by giving us their call letters and name because they do have a question or a comment for the net. And we take those in order. That's followed by science talk by Dr. Roy, AC2GS. And he's got quite a few interesting subjects to talk about tonight. And that's followed by Paul, WS2N, with the space report. When you do sign in tonight, one or two people have suggested that we occasionally switch the second and third section of the TechNet, the space report and the science talk, because some people are a little more interested in the space report and they don't want to stay up that late, if you know what I mean. The TechNet typically runs from 8 o'clock until midnight on the drop. Assuming there's enough questions and comments and whatever. If you do have some strong feelings that we should occasionally switch the second and third section, switch the order, express that to me. We've already got Joe, W2RYY, who signed in. Now, people who do have a question or comment, please give me your call letters and name at this time. K2RYW in the TechNet. There must be somebody else out there with a question or a comment. Please give me your call letters and name right now.
And 12, Dick.
Okay, we've got Joe and Rich. And 2EO. Anyone else? Give me your call letter and name if you got a question or a comment. Maybe we're going to have a light night tonight. So Joe, you're number one on the runway. We got lots of time, so take your time and give us your nice long question and go easy with us. W2RYY, K2RYW in the TechNet.
Anything, Dick, to me, to my wife. Well, it's more of a request than a question. What it is, I'm looking for something, and sometimes you throw something out there, people might say, yeah, I've heard of that, or I know somebody who makes that. What I'm looking for is a manufacturer who makes what's called a flat rubberized fabric belt. And what these things do, they come in various different sizes, but what they were typically used for is either in hard drive, or in my particular case, in the floppy drive. That's this type of belt is used inside the floppy drive internally, and I have like a couple of them that are actually stretched a little bit. They're inside laptops. They stretch over the years, and it means the floppy drive won't work anymore. You stick a disk in, the motor runs, but doesn't spin the floppy because the belt is a little stretched. This comes out of something made about 22 years ago, something like that. They still used it in laptops of later vintage. But the manufacturer was bought by Panasonic. They no longer support items made by the manufacturer, which is not Mitsubishi, some other company that sounds similar to it. So does anybody out there know if any companies, either stateside or otherwise, elsewhere, that still makes a flat, rubberized fabric belt?
Yeah, I'd like to believe there's some kind of an aftermarket place that will supply that product. People who do repair need that, although a 23-year-old floppy disk drive. And I guess, like you said, the product was bought by Panasonic, and they're not supporting it. That's a tough one. So anyone got any suggestions for Joe as to where he can buy a rubberized fabric belt for a 23-year-old floppy disk drive? Out of curiosity, Joe, what was the brand name of your floppy disk drive that got bought by Panasonic?
The company that was taken over by Panasonic was Matsushita, I think. I can't pronounce it correctly. Matsushita. I think you look them up on Google, you find like this is an electric company, Matsushita Electric Company Japan. They were brought up by Panasonic about at least 10 or 12 years ago. And I called up Panasonic, and they don't support stuff made by that company anymore. So I'm sort of like out of luck. The floppy drive itself, I found by checking the model of our, there are places that sell refurbished floppy drives, but they want anywhere from $80 to about $110 for them. I don't really want to spend that kind of money to replace the whole drive. It's not necessary, just because the belt is bad. What's curious is I have not found the manufacturer who still makes this stuff, because if somebody's refurbishing these older drives, selling them currently right now, I don't know where to get the parts from.
That's an interesting point. The company that does the refurbishing needs those parts. And that belt is probably the first thing that after 20 years is going to stretch and become loose. Too bad there isn't an idler wheel system in there, Joe, that will put tension on that belt. And if you could establish from some other piece of equipment a idler wheel that's spring-loaded that'll put pressure on the belt, that would make it artificially tight, if you know what I mean. And sure, it'd be nice if the motor inside could be, if the motor was on oval-shaped holes, so you could loosen the mounting bolts for the motor, move the motor a little bit further away, so that that would tighten the belt. Any chance of that as a possibility, Joe? W2RYY, T2RIW.
That's a negative on that. There are no provisions to do that. The motor has fixed mounting screws. There's nothing that you can even elongate the slot. It only fits in a very small area, one corner of the floppy drive. It does have you'd think it's an idler pulley type thing, but that's also fixed. Off a shaft that's mounted to the metal part of the metal frame, the belt goes in front of that, I guess just as a guide, and then the rest of it loops around the motor, and then around the not constant shaft, it's whatever shaft is on the bottom side of the thing that actually mechanism that actually turns the floppy. That's got a little slot in it, like you would stick it in. So I guess I have to keep on looking. If nobody else out there knows of a place that still makes these old parts, I guess I'm going to be in the search mode for a while. And unfortunately, this computer, I need to be able to put stuff into it, and it's difficult without having a floppy drive. I use this for old radio programming. There's a lot of radio that still have that are DOS-based, and you have to use a DOS-based machine to be able to program the radios. So that's where I stand right now. So, anybody else out there ever heard of this? A company making this type of belt? Flat, rubberized fabric belt.
For a Maxler Shitu or something like that, that's the pronunciation of a floppy disk drive, 23 years old. So you want to replace the belt that became stretched. Too bad there isn't some other way we can shrink the belt. Can't think of that. There is a sort of an idler pulley in there, but it's not spring-loaded. If by some means you could artificially increase the diameter of that pulley, of that idler, that would apply some extra pressure to the belt. But to do that and still have it act like a guide and not jump off, of course, would be difficult. Okay. Anybody got any suggestions as to where Joe can get a Maxler Shitu rubber belt, cloth-mounted rubber belt, as part of his floppy disk drive, where he can get that replacement part? K2RIW, I'll be listening if you guys got any suggestions.
What about eBay or Google it? eBay or Google it? King Bravo 2 Alpha Golf Papa.
Okay, Alpha Golf Papa. My guess is Joe has already tried eBay and Google. And what you found out was that Panasonic bought Maxler Shitu's product line and is not maintaining it. But I bet you've already done that Google and whatever search. Is that true, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. There was one company called PRB. I guess PR projector, recorder, belt. I think the name of the company, something like that. They used to make a variety of these exact kind of belts. All different shape sizes and whatever. Too bad. They went out of business in 2010.
Yeah, it's only 9 years ago. Think there's any stock left? That's a joke, of course. That's a tough one, Joe. That's an ancient product. I wonder how they get around the problem with the modern-day floppy drive. It's probably more of a direct drive with a brushless DC motor, as opposed to using belts. I'll bet you the modern one doesn't use a belt anymore. What do you think, Joe?
Probably going back about 15 years going forward, you would pretty much, you stopped seeing laptops with floppy drives built in. They may have a version for putting an external one on, but with them coming, you know, mounted within the unit itself, they don't make it anymore. Because there are much, much different ways of doing things, storing data, like a USB flash drive, which is thousands and thousands of times the capacity of a floppy drive, which is like 1.44 meg or something like that. Kind of a tough one there. When you try to repair, you need something that's old vintage equipment, and some of the parts are obsolete now. So, thanks for entertaining me at the time involved with it, and I'll have to just keep on poking along. Maybe eventually I'll get lucky.
Yeah, sure, it'd be nice if you can, on eBay, find a used one that somebody's selling at a cheap price that's operational. Now, since a flash drive gives you all the memory you need, I'm not quite sure why you still need that floppy drive. I guess it's because you've got some floppy disk and you want to recall the data that's off of them. Is that what's going on here, Joe?
Well, something that's DOS based. First of all, this has no permission for a USB drive off the motherboard itself. There's another type of a peripheral connector or a pair on there, but they don't support any kind of USB drive. And it'd be a little tough trying to, I mean, I could do it. I still have one computer that has a floppy drive in it, and the computer is XP. I could put files on a floppy drive, but I mean a USB would be tough to get them into this machine. The other problem is I have a lot of radio software disks from that era with different software for each particular model radio and or upgrades to that software. So I still have quite a collection of floppy disks. I bought this computer to replace the same exact identical computer I had for years, but it finally quit on me. It just wouldn't operate anymore. And unbeknownst to me, when I bought this thing, I checked it out, and lo and behold, the floppy drive of that computer doesn't work either, because it took the floppy drive out of my original Toshiba Satellite, I think it's called a 110CS model. That floppy drive didn't work either. That's when I discovered the belt is bad. The replacement computer I bought, the floppy drive of that one, does the same thing. That's bad. I went over to a friend who has two similar computers, one identical to mine, another one similar. And the floppy drives in his both computers also do not work anymore. So it's a time-related type of thing.
AC2GS.
Go right ahead, Dr. Roy.
Repeater, timeout.
You've got it, Dr. Roy.
Okay, I was hearing some time out thing. Joe, have you done a Google search? I see floppy drive belt replacement parts for different models. So if you haven't, you might want to just kind of run through Google, or if you want to email me the exact model designation on that floppy drive, I'll take a look for you.
I can tell you if you, the floppy drive itself is Echo Mike Echo 279. Tango Charlie. That's the model off the floppy drive that's inside the Toshiba Satellite 110CS. Echo Mike Echo 279 Tango Charlie.
It's a Matsushita, which is basically the parent company of Panasonic, so I think they're giving you a runaround.
Roy, when you're on the other end of the telephone, they can do anything they want to do. You're probably absolutely correct. They probably were the parent company of Panasonic, or Panasonic bought them out. It really doesn't matter now.
Okay, I'll take a look through Google, and I'll let you know if I find anything.
Now, when you put that that number in on Google, you will find places that sell refurbished floppy drives. Anyways, from like $79 to like $110, something like that. I don't really want to spend that kind of money if I don't have to. And the thing is, it would also puzzle me, where are they getting the parts to refurbish something to a new enough state was going to last me at least maybe 5 years or so. If they're just, you're taking old stuff and not replacing mechanical parts like the drive belt itself, I might not get more than 90 days out of it, because that's only going to warranty these things for.
Yeah, I understand, Joe, and I can't tell you if it's new in box or if they found some secret source that they're keeping to themselves so that they can make a couple extra bucks off of people like you. But I'll take a look, and if there's someone out there selling it, I'll point you in the direction.
Okay, very good. Thanks for that. Thanks, Dick. I'll be listening. To me, to where my boy.
Comment against the wheel.
Go ahead, Rich.
If I have found stuff not on eBay but other independent places other than eBay, which Joe, what you might do is look around on the internet and put your thing in different ways. Assorted rubber belts, Bobby Joy rubber belts, and you may come up with something. Word it differently.
Well, I've done that already, Rich. There are companies that make rubber belts, small rubber belts, not flat rubberized fabric belts. And there's a difference, apparently, because on some of these different blog sites, you wouldn't get these computer nerds talking back and forth because of subjects. You'll pick up that information if somebody else, like, out there asks the same question I'm asking, how to replace this floppy drive or parts within, and they'll say you have to use the same part you had before, because if you use a rubber belt, it might change the speed of how fast it rotates the floppy disk itself as far as speed. And if it doesn't have the correct speed, it can't read it properly. So I got to use the same thing that it was originally made for.
Yeah, I know. But putting things like flat rubber belts, for disk drives, play around.
I actually have. I spent a couple hours, and then followed by a few more hours the next day on the computer, besides searching stuff on eBay. The consensus I found on the stuff they saw on eBay was sometimes they found these people selling bags of belts. You may have to buy 50 to 100 belts, $6, $7, $8, $10, whatever, and may find none of them that they sell are going to work for you. So you're taking a big chance.
If I understand, there's a problem.
That's why I brought it up on the tech net, because sometimes somebody else out there says, yeah, I ran into the same problem, and I found this manufacturer still makes these things. But in the case of tonight's audience, that's not... maybe not so true.
Joe, if you used any other kind of a rubber belt, maybe one that's not cloth backed, maybe one that's round instead of flat, or maybe a flat one that's not cloth backed, and if the disc itself runs at a slightly different speed, I'll bet you there's quite a bit of tolerance on that, because that disc has a timing track, and the timing track has to be used by the electronics on board to know when the right sector is coming by. I'll bet you that disk drive can tolerate a 10% increase or decrease in speed and still find the right track, if you know what I mean. So you may be more tolerant on that belt than you think. A slightly stretchier rubber belt, maybe even one that's round, as long as it'll stay in the track, might do the job. It's worth a try, and some of those belts you can buy for not very many dollars, and therefore it wouldn't take very many dollars to do that experiment. For B2LYY, K2RIW in the TechNet, wait for the beeps.
Well, I just look around some place, see what I come up with, because, and I did try all sorts of different combinations of wording. That's how I come up with that term, flat rubberized fabric. I didn't even know they called a belt that, but I found that out by going on one of these blog sites. Because somebody's saying the same thing, they're looking for the drive belt, floppy disk or floppy drive belt for a particular machine, a particular computer. That's the word that come back. One of the gurus on there was talking about it. He says, yeah, quite, the same, it's pretty much the same material and same size belt. And generally the consensus is you order something about 10% less in circular distance to make sure it's a tight fit and a good fit.
No idea, Dick.
Yeah, where does the compliance come from, Joe? If there isn't a spring-loaded idler wheel, and you put a belt on there that's too tight, where does the compliance come from? Before we go back to Rich, how do you take up the slack? I mean, there's got to be an adjustment in there of some kind, Joe. Go ahead.
I have the one floppy drive taken apart to come out of the one laptop I own. There is no movement for the motor, and there's no movement for the idler not pulley. I guess you could call it a pulley. But not, I know what you're talking about. Like they have in a car to tension the belt in a car after you replace the serpentine belt. Yeah, something puts pressure in the belt to tighten it up. There is nothing like that inside this floppy drive. If there was, I could, you know, maybe tighten it up or alter it somehow to make it fit, make an existing belt fit better or tighter, but there is none. There's 6 points. So this belt probably has a circumference, I'll estimate, of about maybe 3 inches, maybe 4 inches total circumference, because it doesn't have to go that far between the motor hitting this capstan shaft with a little pulley arm or something like that, and then the actual mechanism underneath where the floppy drive itself is to be turned from. But not a lot of distance I'm talking about, but I got to find something with a very tight tolerance to be able to fit this. So, would work to try.
If you did have the replacement belt in your hand and you're about to put it on, does it have to do some extra stretch to go over the ridge of those pulleys, if you know what I mean? And is the cloth backing stretchable? Over to you, Joe.
W.H. Roy White. The consensus I found on the trunk, reading some of these different computer blog sites talking about this particular subject, is a rubber type of belt will eventually stretch probably a lot quicker than this fabric back belt. That seems to be the consensus.
Yeah, when you're installing a brand new belt, how in the world do you get it in there over the ridges of the pulleys? Maybe you have to temporarily take off that fixed idler pulley in order to get the belt in there. What do you think, Joe?
No, how it's put on is you take the motor physically out of the unit, still it requires to actually have maybe a couple of, maybe an inch or slack on the wires or less. You can take the motor up and see below, on the circuit board side, or below where the motor actually is, and you can see that you have to run the belt. So it's not hard to put another belt on, and of course, putting in the motor back in the same holes as I had previously would stretch the new part slightly, but only slightly. Because it probably has to be a certain dimension as far as height, width, and circumference to satisfy the requirements of the original part.
Yeah, from what you're saying, it sounds like you have to literally dismount the motor in order to put the new belt on. Rich, what suggestion do you have? To V2RYY, wait for the beep, K2RIW. All right, here we go. N2, K2RIW, you got it, Rich.
Okay, Dick. In the corner of my mind, I think I've seen chemicals. Maybe by TC, general cement, to keep dial cords from slipping. Maybe he could use that.
Yeah, there's a slim chance that an anti-slip material will take your loose belt and give it enough tension. That's a long shot, but what do you think, Joe? And too bad somebody doesn't make a liquid you can put on the belt that'll shrink it.
Now listen, carrier score, something seems to be heterodyne of the 85 repeater, I'm not sure of the band opening now. I don't know if there's any out there will actually shrink the belt. That would be nice if I could dip it in some sort of chemical solution and it would shrink the thing maybe to 90 or 95% of what the size I have right now. So it would turn it back into something where it came from as far as original size. Well, I'm just going to have to keep on poking around. I thought bringing it up on the tech net might help, but sometimes you get an answer over here, and sometimes you don't.
AC2GS.
Let's see what Roy has found. Go ahead, Roy.
Unfortunately, nothing definitive, but while you were talking, I watched a video of some guy replace his belt. Doesn't seem to be that awful a procedure. Have you considered, you know, removing the previous belt, taking measurements, and seeing if you could get anything that's vaguely the same spec? You might not be able to get something as durable and long-lasting, but, you know, if you have something that lasts you, say, 6 months, and isn't a big bother to change, that might be a solution as well.
Oh, I have the belts. I have the belts. It's sitting in the pill bottles. They're with the rest of my pill bottles. I have the screws on them labeled of, you know, what part of the computer it came from. That's what I do when I take stuff apart. It saves memory, you know. Yeah, I already have it. I have a micrometer type of a measuring tool that's fairly precise. I'll measure in millimeters or inches, but that's the compass. I only did that by eyeball estimation. I didn't try to stretch it or put on this caliper to get an actual end-to-end measurement of these the circumference. But it wasn't so much finding a size. It was finding a company made that still makes a bunch of sizes up and down from that, you know, that size I'm looking for. I did find companies out there that make rubber belts, but not the same material that I'm looking for.
The rubber belts that you found, were they the same width and approximately the right length, even if they were not cross-backed? I guarantee there's some tolerance, Joe, on the exact speed of that floppy. Over to you, Joe.
I didn't bother mentioning the belt for us because I wanted to try to find that to somebody who makes something similar to it, you know, size-wise. I can do that and possibly buy one of these rubber belts and just give it a try. Maybe it might not last me a long time, but, you know, the thing is, I'd rather try to do it the right way than the wrong way because it's sort of an annoyance to take this computer apart. It's held together by a lot of screws, but it's also held on together by pressure fits on the edges, the way they put these silly things together from, like, you know, 25, 26 years ago. So some of the fittings are like a snap fit around the edge of the case of the computer. How many times can I take that apart, put it back together, take it apart again if I got the wrong floppy drive? Because you can't run the floppy drive with the computer disassembled. That's not possible.
Is there somebody trying to sign in with some further information? Give me your call letter and the name right now if there is.
Hey, it's Ed, K2GJE, Ed, over.
Go right ahead, Ed.
My mark has a computer net. I don't know what night it is, but they've really helped me in the past, over.
Okay, so it's worth a try with the computer net. I don't think the computer net people, though, are quite as enthusiastic as Joe. They'll get down to disassembling a 23-year-old floppy disk drive. But it's worth a try. So, you might try signing in on the net, the computer net, which I think meets twice per month. Does anybody know when the computer net meets on Limehawk?
I think it's the first and third Wednesday, but you could look at the website. They give all the schedules.
Third and fourth Wednesday of the month in Y2H.
Okay, thank you, Lou. So third and fourth. So he's got to wait a while because this is to be... Oh, no. We're coming up to the third and the fourth. It's worth a try. I think very few of the computer people, though, are quite as enthusiastic as Joe to get down to disassembling the floppy disk drive. How many people have you ever talked to that disassembled the floppy disk drive, Joe? The B2RYY, K2RAW?
Bravo Zulu comment.
Bravo Zulu, go ahead.
I just got back from where I was, and I heard that there's a belt problem with a floppy drive, and I wonder if he has ever tried buying a big bag of assorted rubber bands and trying to solve your problem that way.
Well, he's even seen advertisements for guys who'll have a big bag full of belts themselves. Over to you for any comments on that one, Joe.
Rubber bands just by themselves, I've seen disintegrate after a while. You can have it in a drawer to use it for different applications, you know, and they just, without even having pressure on them, I've seen rubber bands maybe in the course of 10 years or so, they'll start to decay, and you can pull them and they'll just simply snap. Something happens to the chemical composition of what they're made of, and they don't seem to last forever. I'm trying to get something that might give me at least a good, another good 10 years so I don't have to take the thing apart anymore. So I'd rather not try rubber bands. It's a very, it sounds like a very simple solution, but it may not work for what I'm looking for.
Joe, how many of these 23-year-old floppy disk drives do you have? Do you have more than one of them?
It's a tight-fitting rubber band, and then transfer the stuff you need to transfer that around your floppy disks. I don't know how much you have. Transfer it to your computer, and then you can write two DVDs, or just run them from your computer. W2BZ.
Computer does not have a CD drive in it at all. It was made 23 years ago.
The DVD drive?
The computer was made 23 years ago.
Yeah, I've had computers older than that. I certainly could put a CD drive in it.
Not in a laptop.
And you can get an external CD drive, or I think you could have you tried to find an external floppy drive?
That's a possibility. That's something I'll have to explore, but that might, and of course, as much as the original computer did. I bought a computer on eBay as a replacement for one that didn't work anymore, knowing that I could take the hard drive out of my old computer, which is completely set up with DOS, but all my radio programs. Sure enough, when I did change the hard drive itself into the newer computer, it basically took the old identity. So what I wanted was to be able to format the other drive that's got Windows 95 on it, wipe it clean, and make a clone copy of my hard drive. So at least I've got a backup hard drive in case the hard drive takes a crap. I'm not really interested in repairing the other computer, but that's where I originally took the floppy drive apart from and discovered that one doesn't work. It stretches. The one, the replacement computer I bought, that floppy drive doesn't work. And somebody else who Dick knows, W-A-T-U-M-D, was a fixer like myself. He has two computers, one the same model and one a different model. Floppy drives in his both computers don't work either, so it's an age type of thing. They don't last forever. Yeah, I know. I know they make external floppy drives. I know that. But I'm trying to avoid doing that if I can. Those things probably nowadays probably cost as much as a computer does to replace them. Maybe $100 and or up.
Programs on floppies, programs you have on floppies, or do you have data on floppies, or both?
I have programs on floppies, many, many disks that have RSS software for programming different radios that I own, or versions of radios that I own, that were made in the 80s and 90s up to about 2000. They're all DOS-based programs. For my other radios I have that. Newer than that, I use a Windows-based program. I have computers already handle that. But this was to make my other computer, this computer, at least work and be reliable, and at least try to get the other drive formatted properly so I can make a carbon copy of it, so to speak, of the drive I have now in case I lose the hard drive.
Last comment I have is if you have an old floppy that's not working, just open it and see what's involved in replacing the belt. And it's not bad. You know, floppy drives are not complicated. They don't have a mechanism that raises and lowers anything like that. So I think it'd be pretty easy once you find the right belt. Or, of course, if you find something close, it has to be smaller close, not larger close. Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu.
Yes, I love that information, reading some of these different computer blog sites talking about the same subject. Everybody said, find something about 10-15% smaller than the size you're looking for. That way you'll ensure tightness, that something is going to fit properly, not slip, and last you a while. So that's what I know I have to do that. The original question was, try to find a manufacturer. There's one manufacturer that used to make all these types of belts I'm looking for, they went out of business, or they don't make those belts after 2010.
You could also try AliExpress. What's the name of it? Just Alibaba or something like that. They have esoteric stuff, and most of the time they give you a price for 100 or more or 200 or more, but they will sell you one or two, you know, for samples. So, geez, I forgot the name. I'm sure Roy or other people listening will know it. AliExpress is what I remember. It's all China. Bye.
Okay, well, the last comment I'm going to make here, you should maybe you didn't hear before, in searching Google and other search sites, putting the number in for the floppy drive itself, which was made by Mattucci 2, which used to be the Panasonic bought them out, and they own them now. That's who made the floppy drive, because apparently this company made floppy drives for many other different computers besides Toshiba, Dell, and other old brands from like 20, 25 years ago. They made all the internal floppy drives for these things. What else was I going to say there? I'm losing my train of thought. It'll come back to me in a moment.
KC2OIS. KC2OIS, start off with your name and give us your information, sir.
How are you? My name is Mark. I would say go to ifixit.com, although you get their phone number, go online, ifixit.com.
Have you gone there, Mark, and have you seen parts like this? Cloth-backed rubber belt drive for a 23-year-old floppy disk drive made by Mitsubishi. Have you seen parts like that there, Mark? Back to you, Mark.
No, but they actually fix almost anything. They started with Apple computers, how to fix things, how to change things, how to change the battery, the screen, the whole thing, shows you how to do it. But maybe they have the information for this guy, what he's looking for.
Sounds like a long shot, but it's worth a try. Back to you, Joe, if you need a fill on that.
Sound like you said the name was ifixit.com, correct?
Yeah, roger that. You can go try it now while you're still with us.
Yeah, my computer's shut off right now. I'm not going to turn them on. I'll go check in that door. So I'll poke around and see if I can find something. Dick, thanks for entertaining the time and space for this request.
Yeah, your timing was good, Joe. We have a late night tonight. There's lots of people are celebrating Mother's Day or doing something else, so they're not signing into the TechNet. Even though a whole lot of people told me in the last couple of days they're going to be signing in. Rich, I think you wanted to ask us or tell us something. Into Echo Oscar, K2LIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Vic. Into Wheel. Yes, you forgot about me. Mama asked you to email me the name of an individual that I could put my station together and put up antennas for me. I never got the email.
We already know who it was. The guy who used to live in Levittown, he used to be a teacher for a shop class, and now he lives in Dixittles. We already know that's the guy who I was recommending for you, Rich. Go ahead.
Okay, can you possibly email his name and phone number to me, please?
Not required. You and I know who he is. I just can't think of his name and call letters all of a sudden. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? The guy used to live in Levittown, who does a lot of antenna work. And he moved to Dixville's a few years ago. Somebody can tell me his name.
About Andy?
Not Andy CDL, no. The guy who used to live in Levittown, used to be a...
Dick.
Please, I double-bridge you. Repeat that.
I'm talking about Woody. What's Woody's call letter?
I believe it's K2 United United and 2APG.
That's him, K2UU. His last name is Woodhouse, and everybody calls him Woody. So K2UU is the guy we're talking about, Rich. And 2EO, get your eyes up here.
Okay, Dick. You have a phone number for him?
I think he's listed in the Limehawk log. I mean, the Limehawk list.
I don't know. I don't think there is phone numbers. Do you email them to me, please?
I don't think I have any further information to email you than what I'm telling you right now. There's lots of people who know Woody very well, K2UU. Quite a few people I know have had antenna work done, and he's done it for them.
Okay, Dick, I need the whole station put together because of my medical situation. I'm buying a new desk. Now put together furniture. I need that put together with all the equipment set up.
Well, you've got two separate problems, a desk put together and antenna work. I know that Woody will volunteer for the antenna work. Whether or not he would volunteer for the desk work, I do not know. You may have to find another person for that.
Yes, well, it's possible. Barry and 2MB said it would help me. But I'm not sure exactly when I'm moving. And he may be in South Carolina.
I think, guarantee it's going to take a while N2MB, Barry, he was talking for years about moving upstate, and now he's talking about moving to the Carolinas. I guarantee he'll still be here by the time you're in your new house. His moves are a little bit slower than he thinks, so that his time is not going to run out on you. Anything else you want to talk about tonight, Rich? N2EO, K2IW?
I have family in South Carolina. Every few months he goes back and forth.
AC2GS?
Go right ahead, Roy. Hope you found something.
Well, I don't know if I found that much. K2UU, I don't believe, is a Limehawk member, so his name isn't going to be on the roster or his phone number. He has an email address on QRZ. It's his call sign, K2UU at optonline.net, so Rich might want to contact him there. Also, I'll remind Rich that Hal had a guy he used to rig his antennas, Leo, that he's aware of.
W2HL.
Hotel Lima, go right ahead. Start off with your name.
Howard. I'm a friend of Barry's. I was over at your house 45 years ago. Don't you remember that? I have Woody's phone number. I bought a tower from him. So if anyone needs it, I think Richie needs it. Richie, I'll give it to you on the landline.
Very good, Howard. Thank you much.
Now, you're not going to need the service for a while, Rich. It's going to be a number of months before you're in your new house in Riverhead Township, in Manorville. Isn't that true, Rich? I mean, the best you can think of right now, it's going to take you 3 months to get to Manorville, I'm guessing.
Oh, it's coming up maybe in a couple of months. Because this house is sold, all we have to do is go to closing. And then the real estate agent will find your house out there. So maybe a couple of months, that's it.
Sounds like you said your house is closed, is sold. And I guess you can choose when you go to closing, depending on when you've got a new house to move into in Manorville. Is that approximately what you're saying, Rich?
Well, the guy who's buying my house is going to, he's very handy. He's going to refurbish it and redo it, and he's going to do this room last. So he said I could stay here a long, long time and no rush. So in the meantime, my realtor is going to be looking for me, and once he finds a nice place, I'm gone.
That's a very compatible buyer. He's going to do the refurbishing while you're there. Very good. Yeah, the slack time in between selling a house and buying a new one and having a place to live can get pretty complicated. People have to live in temporary housing. So you've got a big variable there that'll take up the slack. Very good. All righty, one last call. Does anyone else have any questions or comments for the question and answer section of the TechNet, or comments as to whether or not you would prefer that we occasionally switch the order of the space report and the science talk? If you have either one of those, give me a call, let us name right now. Take your IW in the TechNet.
I think I have a computer question. Maybe your son Chris can answer it.
Yeah, I've been trying to get the ear of my son Christopher, who's on the telephone right now. So I don't think I'm going to be able to answer it for you, but go ahead, Rich.
Okay, well, maybe you could ask him and get back to me. I have an external hard drive. I used to use it on my Apple. I now have a Microsoft computer running Windows 10. I want to be able to get some type of software that will read the Apple format and put it on my Microsoft.
I think you're trying to say you want to read data off an external hard drive that is not Apple 10. Is that what you're saying?
It's because the machine, which is Microsoft, doesn't recognize the drive at all. It's foreign. It's an Apple format. So I need software to go and read the Apple format and write it to a Microsoft machine.
So you want to read Apple software into Microsoft 10, if I understand correctly. And right now you're saying it won't recognize it.
That's correct. It doesn't even know the drive is there.
Okay. When I finally get my son's ear, I'll ask him that question. One last call. Anybody with any questions or comments for the question and answer section of the TechNet, give me a call. That is a name right now.
WB2GXM, Richard, yes?
GXM, go right ahead.
Bravo Zulu, question. Rich?
Rich recognized, but GXM first. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dick K2RW and the group WB2Golf X-Ray Mike. I'm glad you guys are here tonight. I'm feeling a little lonely. This is nice having you guys talking into my ear. So I have a question. I am not particularly a contester, but I am getting interested in computer logging and computer logging programs. So you guys have any favorite computer logging programs for HF? WB2GXM.
Anybody have an answer for Rich? Say your question one more time, Rich. Give it lots of words so people know exactly what you're looking for.
Well, I'm interested in logging QSOs via computer, as opposed to paper logging, which is really old school by now. And I'm curious about what people like to use, what favorite programs they use for computer logging of QSOs, WB2GXM.
Have you checked with ARRL? An awful lot of people are doing computer logging, and they're doing it in a format where they can just mail a copy of that log to ARRL at the end of a contest. So have you checked with American Radio Relay League? Over to you, GXM.
Well, not particularly, but I have been watching Ham Nation every week. I'm a big fan of Ham Nation. And they've gone through a number of programs. They've talked about N1MM, I believe, which is a heavy contest program, and Genlog, and I just ran across Ezilog, and there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. I was just wondering if people have a favorite.
Okay, so you know there are lots of programs, and you want to know, of the people who are listening to the TechNet, what is their favorite logging program? Anybody want to give us some suggestions as to what they've used and how well they like them? Give me a call, let us a name right now. I think everybody's out to celebrating Mother's Day. We've got a really late night tonight, Rich. While we're waiting, let's go over to Bravo Zulu. Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu, go right ahead, Rich.
2 Bravo Zulu, thanks, Dick. I'm now the proud owner of a Reach Expert antenna analyzer. As Dr. Roy knows, I emailed his head off this week about some things I didn't understand. This one actually in cost beat a Chinese radio that I'm talking on right now. That was $79, and the antenna analyzer, an AA30, was $77. And you need to run a computer, you need to use a computer to run this analyzer, because it doesn't come with a screen or it doesn't come with a keyboard. But attaching it to a computer is a very, very easy job. However, as you might guess, Dick, it brings up a million questions that I have, and the most confusing subject or area of what an antenna analyzer can do is the fact that on a street laid out straight into the street, a 50-foot hunk of RG58U. That's it. RG58U into the antenna analyzer. And what I got was very confusing to me anyway. I just had it up on my screen, and at four different frequencies, and I do want to give you the exact frequencies, it takes a dive, in other words, plummets into nearly a one-to-one ratio. And I know you guys love, oh God, okay, here it is. So let me give you where it dips down to, well, I'll give you the numbers. 9.7 to 1, I'm sorry, at 9.7 megahertz, it goes down to 1.73 to 1. Let me let it drop. At 16.2 megahertz, it goes down to 2 to 1. At 22.2 megahertz, it goes down to 2.19 to 1. And at 28.8 megahertz, it goes down to 2.93 to 1. Now, this is going through, this reading is going through directly to the antenna analyzer. Sometimes I do run it through a tuner, using the tuner as a pre-tuner, if I might say it like that, a pre-tuner to the antenna tuner in the Kenwood 440. But these four readings, and they're very deep and very noticeable spikes, trouble me because it doesn't seem like it defies logic in my mind. And I wonder, Dick, if these are false positives, if positive is the way to say it. Are these false positives, or can an antenna at, you know, these four wavelengths actually spike down like it shows me it's doing? W2BZ.
I have logging info, W2HO.
Okay, there's a lot of missing information here. DZ. You said you got a long piece of cable out into the street. You didn't tell us what's on the end of it. Is it an open circuit, a short circuit, a dummy load, or an antenna? How many feet is the RG-58, and what's on the end of it? Over to you for that first, Bravo Zulu.
Dick, the name here, if you want to use it, is also Dick. Easy to remember. But I usually go by Rich. There is nothing on the end of it, and it's just cut. The blade doesn't go anywhere near the center conductor, and that's the setup. And it's 50 feet long.
Okay. A 50-foot long piece of RG-58 is a quarter wavelength at some particular frequency. And when you find that, and you know by burning away the 50 feet and the velocity factor of your particular brand of coax, we can find out exactly where it's quarter wave, and at odd quarter wave, it's going to give you an extremely low impedance in the shack. An open circuit at the far end, quarter wavelength of cable, is going to be essentially a short circuit at the near end if the cable was lossless. All the signal going down that cable hits the open circuit end and reflects back. But because the cable has higher and higher insertion loss as you go up in frequency, the amount of signal that comes back is decreasing when you go up in frequency. In theory, the amount of reflection is constant. Now, every antenna analyzer, which is really a poor man's equivalent of a vector network analyzer. Let me drop. If this is the best of all worlds, it would be sending you a constant amplitude signal down the cable and looking at the amplitude and phase angle of what bounces back to the antenna analyzer when it's connected to that piece of cable. So the amount of reflection from your cable should be nearly constant. Therefore, the standing wave ratio should be a fairly constant high standing wave ratio that goes down to lower and lower numbers as you go to higher and higher frequency because it becomes a greater and greater insertion loss. If you go to a high enough frequency where the cable is 20 dB lossy one way, and therefore the signal coming back would be 40 dB suppressed, and that would be a 1.01 standing wave ratio, if you know what I mean, apparent, because, now, the fact that you're seeing these dips, I think is representing an error in your antenna analyzer. In other words, at certain phase angles, at certain frequencies, its ability to measure forward and reverse reflection coefficient, the ratio between the two, is degrading. So, it's not easy to put an interpretation on that, as you can tell. By putting a dummy load on the far end and repeating the experiment, that would give you a lot more information. Do you own a dummy load where you can do that, Rich? Over to you, Rich, K2IW on the second net.
A dummy load as simple as the old light bulb dummy load?
A dummy load light bulb is a poor man's equivalent. No, I mean a real 50-ohm dummy load. Preferably a good brand name like Weinchel or Berg. Do you own or have access to one of those? Can you beg, borrow, or from one of your friends. Go ahead.
But I do have an external antenna tuner that has a dummy load in it, but that's what I was using to test with the Kenwood tuner, and I was wondering, so I'm using two tuners to get these results. Well, wait a minute. Now, on this experiment, I went right into the analyzer. I did not go tuner, the MFJ tuner, and then into inside the rig. And the numbers actually reversed, are a reversed example of what you said, because in 9 megahertz, it's 1.73. At 28.8 megahertz, it's 2.93. So, that's where I guess you would say, something's wrong with your test equipment and not anything else is involved. It's just the antenna tuner that's not doing its job. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do have mysterious sounding data that you're giving me. the dummy load that's in your antenna tuner.